Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. And we welcome everyone to the show today. Our thanks to Merrill Hodge for being on the show in the previous half hour. We have a lot going on this week. We have John Bacon's going to be on Friday's show. Dick Girardi's going to be on Friday's show. Roman Stubbs of the Washington Post is on Friday's show. Tomorrow we have our high school roundtable. Several requests to have the suit back on tomorrow. Eight of them are here from Danville. Most of them deal with his votes on taxes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different topic. That's for the Lawrence show. You still crack up that day that I said, have you ever voted to raise taxes?
Instant classic. How many of those eight from the Danville Hill section?
Jamie almost drove off the road. Listening to the show, I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Nolan Patrick gets it done for the Flyers against the Ducks.
Flyers are onside of the duck end. Here's Lindblom. Bats it over into the right corner. Voracek tried to get free and behind the net. He was stripped of the puck. Able to poke it back to the blue line. And fired in behind the net by Hague. Centering out in front. Patrick scores! Nolan Patrick took the pass down low. And just seconds later, the Flyers get it back and take the 3-2 lead.
Tim Saunders with the call on the Flyers radio network on 97.5 The Fanatic, as the Flyers beat Anaheim last night 3-2. Okay. Maryland students say they want to protest DJ Durkin's return. And they are putting together a protest, which is scheduled for today at some point. I think they idealistically wanted to start it a half hour ago, and I don't think it started yet. But they have been able to get the response of 1,000 people so far, but now are also getting national publicity for it. They wanted to do it originally at 3:30 outside McKeldin Library on the College Park campus. But they say that because it conflicts with the Maryland football practice, they want players to be able to attend, and they have reached out to several players on the team. I don't know if you want to put them in the middle of this, but they've done it. So the problem is going to be, okay, let's try and examine this from an area of fairness, okay? Whenever an investigation is done, it seems now the narrative of the perception is always going to be heads are going to roll. Okay. So evidently they have come back with a conclusion that he should keep his job. All right. So I ask you this, what would be the easiest course of action for Maryland to take? The easiest course for Maryland to take would be Durkin's fired, the athletic director's fired, the president's gone. Now, by taking that action, you are now telling everybody, look, we did something. Okay? So that's the easiest road to take. And it really is the easiest road. Bang, you're done, you're done, you're done. Boom. Rutgers did that. Remember the scandal with the basketball coach throwing basketballs to the players and the videotape came out? Well, they got rid of the athletic director and they got rid of the head basketball coach. Probably long-term for Rutgers' success, they probably should have kept the athletic director in place. Okay, but that's a different story, different day. Well, that's the easiest course. That's always the easiest course to take. Boom, heads roll, bang, 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 bang. We're going to start over. See, we did something. Okay. The more difficult course to take is that you take an individual who is a perceived lightning rod in the situation, come to the conclusion they don't deserve to be fired, and you keep them in place. Okay, so they take, based on their information, what they think is the right decision, but it also does lead to a tougher road. Okay. Now, maybe DJ Durkin is completely innocent in all this, or has a level of innocence that allows him to keep his job. So again, I'm trying to be fair about this. But there are going to be unintended consequences for it. And the unintended consequences are going to be, what kind of credibility do you have with your current team? What kind of integrity do you have with your current team? Then once you get through it, and those hurdles are higher now than they were before, even though you control playing time. And then when you get on the recruiting trail, those hurdles are going to get very, very high. And the ability to look at a family, you know, you go into their living room, the kitchen table, the dining room table, wherever you're talking to them, it's going to be very hard to deliver the line, if you send your son to us, we will take care of him. I mean, that's the line that the McNairs heard. That becomes extremely difficult on the recruiting trail to do that. So I've tried to look at it from every angle as to what's fair. And even though maybe they have much more information to work with than any of us do, so maybe the conclusion they reached in terms of his job are fair, but even though it may be fair to DJ Durkin, it's now created higher hurdles for the entire program. And Maryland's having a good year. They beat Texas. They're 5-3 in the year. They're a Rutgers victory away from being bowl eligible. So, the problem is never. Okay, I want to phrase this right. Perception is always going to be the problem. Perception always trumps truth. How about that? And what's the perception of DJ Durkin in Maryland football right now? I mean, I'm just talking perception. For all we know, the truth is 180 of perception. I don't know that. So, but the perception is, ooh, you don't want to go there. You don't want to play for him. That is a big, big problem they have to deal with. And the McNair family, justifiably anguished and angry, are telling everybody, hey, look, it's a gigantic problem to us. Look what we've lost. We lost everything. Jordan's never coming back. And you've got people in the locker room who were out there that day. Again, so remember I was talking about the credibility with the team. You've got people in that locker room that were out in the field with Jordan McNair that day. And you wonder how much they're buying it. These are just legitimate questions, I think, that just need to be asked and topics that legitimately need to be discussed as to what's going on there. So, okay. Great to have you with us on the show today. Then there's the situation. Have you heard about the one at Rutgers? Isaiah Bullock? There are all sorts of reasons to dismiss somebody from a team. Isaiah Bullock was dismissed from the team after attempted double murder charges. Oh, boy. Bullock confided in the Rutgers coaching staff about his struggles with the... Let's see. He was arrested after school officials reported concerns to law enforcement. Bullock was reportedly upset following a breakup with his longtime girlfriend and made comments about her family that were construed as threats. Bullock confided in the Rutgers coaching staff about his struggles with the breakup and missed several recent practices due to the issue. The coaching staff directed him to a university counselor whom he met with for 90 minutes. So the coaching staff handled it right. Bullock then made alarming comments to an unnamed teammate following that session. The teammate reported what Bullock had said to a strength coach, who then followed mandatory protocol and informed a superior. The information was eventually given to the Rutgers police on Monday. According to police, Bullock asked a person to be a getaway driver and lookout. But the person recorded their conversation and submitted the recording to police. Police later found gloves, crushed up Tylenol pills, and a mask in his car. Bullock later confessed. Of course, they dismissed him from the team. So the coaching staff, strength and conditioning, teammate, all handled everything right, and it prevented a problem. Now, this also leads to the fact that, and again, Bullock was charged with two counts of conspiracy to commit murder. He was arrested yesterday. And Bullock was dismissed from the team yesterday. He's only been in one game. He appeared in the Buffalo game. But this is the latest in a long string of problems for Rutgers. I mean, eight guys being charged in a credit card and fraud scheme back in August. I mean, that one came up. They stole, evidently were charged with stealing info from the dark web. Brendan DeVera, Rutgers linebacker, allegedly used the dark web to obtain credit card numbers starting in April. Then he transferred money to several Rutgers Express debit cards. KJ Gray, Edwin Lopez, Malik Dixon, Shaim Simmons, CJ Anichi, Kobe Marfo, and Najee Jones were all arrested in August on those charges. And DeVera and Gray are considered the ringleaders. So this is what, they've been dealing with all sorts of problems there. But I will say this again. The Rutgers coaching staff in this case, strength and conditioning coach, coaching staff, teammate, handled it perfectly. In other words, they reported, and nobody stayed silent. They reported everything, and they were able to solve what potentially could have been a tragedy. Whew, man. You know, I used to love, Sean, I used to really love the days we talked sports. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, so the first college football playoff rankings came out. I know a lot of people were floored when they saw Alabama number one. Alabama-Clemson, Clemson-Alabama. Yeah, this system's going great. Then you got Notre Dame and LSU. Of course, LSU plays Alabama this week. And then Michigan's 5, Penn State's 14. And let me give you one area where I've got, I know, and I pointed out once, I've said it 100 times on the show, that each one of these college football playoff deals happen to be the current snapshot. They're not a projection. that if the college football playoff were today, those would be the four teams that would be in it. That's how the rankings would shake out. That's today. Then they'll put a new snapshot out next Tuesday after this weekend's results. And Penn State's 14, but here's one where I do have is Central Florida. Now, do I think Central Florida is the team that they were a year ago? No, probably not. But they also haven't lost since 2016. I think they've won, what, 20 games in a row? And Mackenzie Milton, I don't know if their quarterback Mackenzie Milton's available for this week's game with Temple or not. And he is the linchpin that makes the whole thing run for them. So they're sitting there at, I want to say, 12. Okay. But Florida has lost twice, and they're at 11. Now, once you're outside the top seven, your ability the next week to move into the top four after seven is, okay, it's not. It's going to take time to get there if you win, okay? So you do things cosmetically in this thing. And this group didn't do that. Remember 2 years ago with Penn State? Remember Ohio State didn't win the Big Ten, but they entered the final week at 2. Clemson was 3. Clemson won the ACC title. So what they did was they flipped Clemson to 2 and Ohio State to 3. Now, remember what the big deal of that was? It meant that Ohio State had to wear white jerseys instead of scarlet for the game. That was the total and complete significance of it. And Penn State was bumped over Michigan to 5, and the reason they did that was Penn State won the Big Ten championship, so they made them 5. It didn't change anything about where Penn State was going bowl-wise. It didn't change a single thing about where Michigan was going bowl-wise. So they did it cosmetically, you're the Big Ten champion, because it had no bearing on what's going on. So why should an undefeated Central Florida team, why should they be 12 and Florida with 2 losses be 11, when instead they should be flipped because cosmetically it doesn't make any difference either way, but cosmetically you put the undefeated team in front of the 2-loss team. Yeah, that part made no sense to me looking at it. Like, what the heck? They've lost twice. Now, do I think that Central Florida, if they're in the SEC, they're losing, you know, they're a team that ends up maybe 7-5 for the year or 8-4? Yeah. I mean, playing those kind of teams game in and game out, but they're also going to win a couple along the way, too. They're a good team. But they're not, they would never even come close to being undefeated in the SEC, but I think they'd be over 500. So that part I didn't understand. But these are snapshots. Notre Dame's got Northwestern this week. That really is the last hurdle. I know they have to play USC at the end, but USC's really struggling. The game will be in Los Angeles. Okay. But an undefeated Notre Dame team, look, if anybody's undefeated, you know, among the Power 5 teams, they've got to get in. You passed every... Look, the pressure to go undefeated in this thing is unbelievable. The pressure to be undefeated in college football is unbelievable. It is the only sport, college football is the only sport where the pressure to be undefeated is off the charts. There's no pressure to be undefeated when the NFL season begins. NHL, NBA, PGA Golf Tour, Major League Baseball, college basketball. There is zero pressure in those sports to be undefeated. College football, though, is the one sport where there is exponential pressure to be undefeated. I mean, look at the Penn State season this year and last year. You know, that drive to be undefeated to get there. I mean, if you're undefeated, you're going to get there. With one loss, okay, now you're putting yourself, will I or won't I? 2 losses, oh, you're out of it. College football is the one sport where the drive to be undefeated is unprecedented. So we got that big holiday party coming up in December 5th, huh?
A little over a month away.
Do you think at that point we'll get an answer about exactly how many times the suit did vote to raise taxes in Danville?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's see. We're going to have on a college roundtable tomorrow. Washington Post reporter tomorrow. Let's see. A MLive.com reporter tomorrow. Friday will be Dick Girardi, John Bacon, Roman Stubbs of the Washington Post on Friday's show. We have a lot of people on.
And a Central PA travel recap from your brother.
Oh, he'll be on tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. He had a good time.
I still have to find out from him if he may have made one more stop before getting on the highway on the way home on Sunday morning, because he was contemplating whether to make a little pit stop in South Williamsport off Route 15, stopping by the Little League World Series. I don't know if he did that or not.
Yeah, no.
Even if it was just for a quick photo.
Well, he probably, knowing him, he probably probably got up and said, "Well, the next time I'm out here, I'll do it."
Yeah.
So
that was a long couple of days. They were probably ready to get home at that point.
Right. So, yeah.
But hey, you had a great week with picks last week. Went 5-1. So did you.
Well, you went 6-0, though.
I did. But I left that part out.
You went 6-0.
Yeah, but you guys went 5-1, which is phenomenal. 5-1's great.
And lost ground.
I have no clue how I'm pulling this off. I don't. I really don't.
Well, by the way, guess what? The first week of December, we'll do our bowl picks. We will get to hear firsthand from a whining, moaning, and complaining suit that there are too many bowl games, and then he will brag about winning this 4 years in a row.
Yep. That's how it works every single year.
It is interesting that when you look at the college football playoff, I was asked this question on SiriusXM the other day when I was a guest on one of the shows. And they were asking me about James Franklin's elite versus great. And I said, well, they said, well, you know, what makes elite? And I said, well, I think they've pretty much defined it for us. I think that making the college football playoff is, in that particular year, is what makes you elite. I said, they've set up the system to be like that. And I said, because Georgia was really, really good, and then suddenly they are perceived as elite because they made the championship game last year. I said, do I think they're elite year in and year out? I said, no. I said, they've always been one of those just-missed teams year in and year out. Just missing the SEC championship game. Just miss when it comes to making the college football playoff. Well, last year they got through and they broke through. Now they're perceived as being elite.
Okay.
In which they bought into, and they said, yeah, they could see what I was talking about. All right, about time somebody did. So then they said, if the college football playoff is expanded to 8, I said, does that then expand the number of elite teams? And I said, absolutely it does. I said, that absolutely expands the number of elite teams. Because, again, by getting to the playoff and getting to the tournament, we've already had two, we've already had two tournaments where the number 4 seed, Ohio State in 2014 and Alabama in 2017-18, were 4 seeds that won it all. I said, it's like with any playoff, the Giants were a number six seed, the Packers were a number six seed, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. I said, once you get into the tournament of any kind, the Red Sox in 2004 were a wild card team when they broke the curse. They were the wild card team. They didn't win the division. Right? Once you get into the tournament, now all bets are off and anybody can win it because you can put together that magical game and eight can be one. I said, so that definition of elite would change if it went from one to eight. Now, we're going to get, this is where Tony Knopp and I are going to talk about this the next time Tony's on the show. There is one gigantic four-letter word that is going to determine whether they go from four to eight teams. Now, I'd prefer it at four. I'd rather keep the system the way it is now and let it settle in for a period of time before you consider making any expansion if it's needed. But there's a big four-letter word that's sitting out there that is the key as to whether they go from four to eight. And that four-letter word is cash. I would have used the five-letter word money, but the four-letter word thing's just a better play on words. Cash. That is the key. How much more money can you get by having eight teams in the college football playoff? How much more can you extract from the bowl system? How much more money can you extract from ESPN ABC by having an extra round of playoffs? Because we are at a place where, again, is the money needed for college football and college basketball? No, it's not. But when you have so many other sports with student athletes and budgets and so forth, and none of them make money, and we're just talking about, again, there's no point in this I'm advocating for changing that model. I am not. Okay? But let's be realistic. You still need money to make it happen. So between donations, endowments, television money, cable money, radio money, attendance, parking, donation, everything that goes into it, and you roll it all together, do you have enough to run a, in this case around here, a $100 million plus business of which you only have two profitable arms of? The normal business, the two profitable arms would be like, okay, that's where we're going. The ones that are losing money don't make the cut. That's how normal business is run. But the business of intercollegiate athletics allows two particular entities to support, at Alabama, 17 other entities, at Ohio State, 32 other entities, at Penn State, 29 other entities. Okay? And again, the Alabama part's important. They only have 19 sports at Alabama. So what they're bringing in for football from the SEC, from their own coffers, donations, things like that, they can put more money back into their football because guess what? While at places like Ohio State and Penn State, you got to spread it out more. So, you know, just simple math. Then, of course, that brings up the possibility of, okay, if you put an extra round of playoffs in, should the players be paid? Okay. Here's the next problem. Okay, while it's a well-intentioned question and comment, you will then have somebody say, oh, wait a minute, Title IX over here says that you can't do that for the male athletes. You have to do something also for female athletes. Okay. And again, that's just, I mean, that's something that that'll be one of those things like, well, if we do this, well, wait a minute. You do that, what's the consequence of that? You're going to have to, you can't pay, you know, what, football's 125 guys, basketball has 15, so, you know, you can't pay 140 guys. Well, they're making money, yeah, but they're going to have, there's going to be somebody out there that is an attorney that understands Title IX that's going to say, wait a minute, where's the 140 equivalent on the women's side? And I'm just raising points. I'm not making any commentary. I'm just raising points about what the consequences would be. So these are not easy questions. And they're not easy answers. They're not easy answers at all. Well, you can do this. Well, wait a minute. What about the consequence of, oh, geez. Okay. So it changes everything. But in the end, if there is an expansion, if there is an expansion of the college football playoff from 4 to 6 or 4 to 8 games, it is going to be in part because, well, in part, it's going to be about money. It's going to be about money. Amazing how that works, isn't it? It's amazing how that works.
And getting back to the Maryland story, I just wonder if money had something to do with that. Well, do we really want to... Do we really want to give DJ Durkin a buyout? Yeah. Do we really want to fork out all this money for the extra time now that we're going to have to hunker down and do an overall nationwide search for a brand new head football coach?
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's a very good question because I believe his buyout's $5 million. But you know what, Sean? I think they're going to ask themselves on this road, are they better off at this moment? And again, with the easy, what's the easy thing to do? The easy thing to do would be to get rid of them. Okay, that's the easy. Okay, you're out. Look, we did something. Boom. We're going to make things right. Okay, so that's not what they did. But it does come with unintended consequences. I think they made their road to any kind of success longer and far more difficult by doing it this way. And for all we know, it was absolutely the right reason based on evidence. I'm trying to be fair here. But that is... Honestly, as someone who's not in the room, I don't know what they're thinking. Because the easiest... It's always the easiest. You're gone. Okay, look, we did something. Right. We're going to do something. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Okay. So, I have a conversation with my wife this morning about my trip to Mexico. I was explaining how it worked out in such a way where I can travel with the team. I don't have to do anything independently because where we're going to be is about an hour south of the airport. Okay. So when you're in the group and everything like that, it's great. And I'm going to be in a span, and please, believe me, I got the candy store jobs. I relish a schedule like this. 8 games in 15 days. That's great. That's fine. I've got 5 hoops games, and I've got 3 football games. Okay, perfect. I love that schedule. But she asked me about, gee, how much, you know, what are you going to do? How much fun are you going to have down in Mexico? And I said, well, let me explain this to you. I said, Sunday's a travel day. She goes, oh, yeah, okay. I said, yeah, there's another show I do, I think, here that everybody knows about, so you know, I don't think make any secret. I said, and then Monday I have to do both shows. She says, okay. Tuesday I have to do both shows in a game. She says, oh. I said, and Wednesday I have to prepare Wednesday night's game, do both shows in the game. She says, and Thursday I fly back. She says, oh my goodness, you're doing nothing. I said, I know. I said to her, I'm doing the exact same things I do here, just in a foreign country. She said, are you going to go? I said, I said, if it makes you feel better, I'll walk by the ocean at one point. Oh, God.
You can do. You FaceTime with her by the ocean.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to FaceTime with one of the grandchildren tonight. So.
That's right.
Because the other three are coming here. Of course, the other one has no idea. The fifth one has had no idea what we're doing.
Yeah, this will be our first Halloween in our new place, so it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of foot traffic we're going to get tonight.
Look, we don't get a lot here, but they come by, and I hold the bowl. I go, hey, look. They reach in tentatively and take one. I go, no, take more. They take a second one. Right. Okay. They said, no. I mean, like, take five or six. Then they'll look back at their parents. All right.
Well, we used to live down in an alley.
Look, I'm moving inventory, man.
That's right. Help me help you.
Yeah. You kids don't understand.
Yeah, we used to live down an alley for about 21 years, but if we were hardcore, and there's a lot of people that love Halloween, they can't wait for this night finally come to pass tonight.
Right.
I mean, if we would have been, you know, Deb and I, hardcore Halloween people, we'd have the perfect setup. We were down an alley, very, very dark. Like, the closest street light was another block down the street. So, we could have had fun. Down the alley, there was, like, a chain link fence. I mean, you could have strung maybe some, you know, like, fake cobwebs in the bushes and maybe string some crazy lights and maybe some Bluetooth speakers with some, you know, like, really scary sound effects. And it could have been, we could have had it going on in the village of Castania down our alley, but we got older and
we have three pumpkins. That's about it.
But we're on a more busier street now, so I'll get there tonight and throw on the sweatshirt and jacket and set up shop out in the front porch and see who shows up.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. I love it.
Yep.
That'll be great.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.